L-E-T-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
1 o'clock hour, Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason in Nashville. Willie Donick is in Colorado, Denver to be precise. Another guy that's in Denver right there with him, Predators captain Roman Josi, who is on the line with us, joins us now, and I appreciate that. After a tough one last night, Roman, I know not what you wanted to have happen, especially in the first period, but I appreciate you taking the time today.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
So you look back at the last two games, and you guys have been very honest about it, that the first period is not what you want to play. But I felt like they were different. You had different things that happened from Vancouver. You had some mental lapses that you talked about. Didn't have that as much. It just they capitalized on some big chances. There were some turnovers. So how do you address the last two first periods and just the start overall to your games as you move forward?
Yeah, I think, we look at it pretty honestly. I think in Vancouver, we just didn't play well in the first period. They were faster and out-battled us, and we just didn't get anything going, and certainly so, we're down 3-0, I think. I think last night was a little different. I actually thought, as bad as it sounds, you're down 4-0, but I thought we didn't play that bad. Like you said, we gave them some really good chances, really good looks that they scored on, and that happened pretty quick. But I think it was a little bit of it was a different feel coming in the locker room yesterday than it was the first game. But obviously, we got to clean up those mistakes. And it's the first period is so huge. You're down 4-0. It's such an uphill battle after, and it's hard to come back from. So. That's definitely something we've got to put an emphasis on.
There's a word that I've heard you use, I've heard John Hines use it, David Poile, and that's consistency. And just finding that consistency, whether it's with the lineup, with how you guys start games, how you go throughout a game, just the play overall. And, you know, you're 2-2 on this road trip, which is not bad, but you want to win all the games. Where do you think your group is from in the process of trying to play consistent night in and night out?
Yeah, I think that's definitely still a problem for us. I mean, if you look at the road trip, I think we didn't have a good game at Edmonton. We played a really good game in Calgary, played two really good periods in Vancouver, and then yesterday we're down 4-0 again after the first. So, it's something we've addressed, and I know it's something that needs to be better. It needs to be better by all of us. We all got to play better individually, more consistent. I think it starts from me, and I think that's something. Yeah, we need to keep addressing. And you're only gonna win a couple in a row and win some games if you play consistent.
We talked to the Preds captain Roman Josi. Now, Roman, the game didn't start off the way you guys wanted it to. But even in all of that, you guys were able to stabilize it and play a lot better after the first period. But it still wasn't enough to sort of dig yourself out of that hole. What is being said going into the second period amongst the team? Because, you know, just like any other sport, you can always get that here we go again mentality. But it seems like y'all didn't have that. Y'all came back out and played much better hockey.
Yeah, we did. I think our mindset was just to, even if you're down 4-0, you got to make sure you stick to the plan, and you got to make sure you play well defensively. I mean, even in the first, I feel like we had our looks, we had our chances, and we knew if we don't give up another goal, we're gonna get our chances, and we scored one in the second. Felt like we could have one or two more, and we couldn't really get any goals in the third period. But I think especially it's easy to get off track if you're down 3-0 or 4-0 after the first. I felt like we didn't do that. I felt like we we kind of stuck to our game, just couldn't find a way to get goals.
We're talking to the Predators captain, Roman Josi. And Josa, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people wonder about the system and is this the right system? It seems to me like you guys know that the system will work for you guys. It took a while to adjust during the coaching staff over a long period of time. And, you know, it really clicks when you guys are on the same page. So do you still believe in the system, I guess is the question.
Yeah, definitely. I think we all know if we play our system, we're a very good team. And the first two periods in Vancouver and even yesterday, nothing to do with system. It wasn't like we had D-zone breakdowns or whatever, like system breakdowns. It was just kind of our mental lapses that we had. And everybody believes in the system, and we all know if we play it right and if we play it consistently, we have a very good chance to be successful.
Juuse Saros, you know, when a guy gets pulled and a guy of his status doesn't get through the first period, it's got to sting for you guys on the bench. How do you try to help pick him up a little bit as he tries? Because he was so good in Vancouver as you guys dug out of the hole, so it had to be disappointing for him. How do you try to sort of rally around him?
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing for all of us. I mean, I think especially after that first period, you feel as a team you let your goaltender down with the chances that we give up. And Juuse has been so great for us in the last couple of years. And this year, like you said, in Vancouver, it was unbelievable. Like, he gave us a chance to come back in that game. And it's hard. You never want to see a goalie get pulled, and especially a guy like Juuse who's won us so many games. And like I said, I mean, the chances we gave up, there's nothing you can do. Like, we just gotta be better defensively and help them out better. And we have, like, so much confidence in Juuse. I mean, you guys seen him play. He's one of the best goalies in the world, and he's won us so many games. So I think the team definitely takes it personal if a guy like him gets pulled.
I know everybody, when you've had your ups and downs, you look yourself in the mirror a little bit. You're a leader. You're a guy that drives the team some. So when you look in the mirror, how do you evaluate your own performance to this point of the season, Jos?
Yeah, I mean, I got to play better, honestly. Like, it's just simple as that. Like I said before, I think it starts with me. It starts with the other leaders. Your best players got to be your best players, and that's how you're successful in this league. And our record is not great right now, and I think that starts with me. So I got to find a way to be better for the team and help the team get some wins.
Is there anything as you look at the film, you look back at your shifts, or you talk to the coaches about something you think might be the breakthrough for you to start leading to more offense? I see a ton of offensive zone time for you guys. I was looking at the numbers last night. You guys, I think, had three more minutes of possession in the offensive zone than the opposition. But just turning that into the playmaking, turning that into the higher level chances, looks like that's where a lot of this could be solved.
Yeah, it's definitely something we've worked on a lot. Like, we've been putting a lot of emphasis on our offense, and the coach has done a great job of implementing new things to our offense. And I thought we played a really good game offensively against Calgary. Got better as the game went on in Vancouver. And even yesterday, we had a lot of zone time. And I think, like you said, now we just got to find a way to create a little bit more in the offensive zone. Like, we're getting a lot of zone time, but we got to find a way to find more high danger scoring chances and get some dirty goals in front of the net. And I think that will help us score some more goals.
We're talking to Predators captain Roman Josi here on Chase Willie and D-Mace. And Roman, you know, I've gotten to know you over the years and we're around you a lot. You're a very laid back guy. I don't think I've ever seen you like super mad, but when you have to be a leader, when you have to have those tough conversations, what is that balance for you of kind of knowing when to be firm, when to scream and yell, or whatever you have to do in the locker room? You know, as you've grown in this role as captain, what's that balance like when you're trying to get a point across to your teammates?
I think it's definitely a balance. I mean, I think when things don't go well, it's easy to panic quick. But I think we've done a pretty good job about being honest with our game, and we've a lot of the guys here, a lot of the leaders played together for a long time. And I think we know when we don't play our best. And we definitely address that. I think everybody's pretty accountable to their game and everybody knows when they have to play better. And, you know, it's just, a lot of times it's just you just go with a gut feel and you kind of have a good feel about your team and what the team needs. And that's kind of something I try to learn over the years and just trying to get a feel for your team and try to figure out what your team needs.
Well, we appreciate it today. As always, go get them tomorrow night in Denver, and we'll see you back in Smashville Saturday night.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Roman Josi, Predators captain, defenseman, joining us here on the show is trying to play consistent. That was the theme of that interview. We'll discuss a little bit more of that coming up next, but it is all happening right now in the world of sports, whether it's football, basketball, hockey, and soon enough the World Cup. You can get it all on the Superbook Sports app. There's no better place to wager on all of that than Superbook Sports. When you sign up, deposit, and wager all in the same day, Superbook will give you a bonus up to $1,000. When the sports world is busy, it's time to get busy winning some money. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com to wager and win today. If you're looking at futures for college football, Tennessee right now plus 1,400 to win the national championship. Download that app, sign up, place your bet just like I did. It is that simple. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Back at you, Willie Chase and D. Mace. Just got finished talking with the captain, Roman Josi. They dropped the game. Last night's game, 4-1 against the Kraken.
5-1.
5-1. Yeah, you're right. They scored an empty netter. So 5-1 against the Kraken. It was disappointing, but you know, listening to the captain, he still has faith in his team, and it's still early on. You know, I think you mentioned, Willie, you know, once you get into that, you know, once you get around Thanksgiving or a little bit after Thanksgiving, that's when, you know, things start to really get serious. But in the meantime, you don't want to dig yourself in such a deep hole that you can't get up out of it. But last night's game wasn't what we thought it should have been, and I'm sure it's not what the Predators expected, to be down 4-0 before the first period was even done. But again, like I said, they sort of stabilized some things. They had their opportunities, and they just couldn't make do on everyone they had. So and the Kraken did. As a team, you just regroup and you know, the unfortunate part about this is that you don't really have a lot of time to kind of go back and watch the film and critique yourself and coach through it. You gotta, you know, get back on the ice and go from there.
And I, Willie, use these words in our group text. I appreciate, you know, Roman Josi and Matthias Ekholm, who we've had on the last 2 weeks. They're accountable.
Yeah,
I mean, they're guys.
He said, "I got to play better."
Yeah, they're guys that, I mean, Roman reminds me of you. Mm-hmm. You know, he will put that chip on his shoulder, but he'll take responsibility. If like there's something he needs to do better, he'll be the first one to step up and say, "I got to play better."
Yeah, and that's just shows you. I mean, he's the captain for a reason, and he's the leader of those men for a reason, and you know. If he's not, you know, playing, you know, up to the standard that he thinks he needs to be playing at, because other people probably look at it and say, well, Roman's playing pretty good. But it's a standard that we set for him, and then it's a standard that he sets for himself. And if he's not playing at that standard, he's going to call himself out. So, but that's right. What you expect a leader to do.
Willie?
Is Will there?
Do we have Willie?
Yeah, Willie must have.
Sorry, guys. I forgot to unmute. My I was listening. You guys broke it down really well. I forgot to unmute during the break.
That's
you
one.
Know, I thought Roman, he said, well, he knows he hasn't played as well as he's capable. He knows the team hasn't played as well as he's capable. And so I like when it all starts with him. Said, you know, I've got to be better. And so today, I think they're just regrouping. I don't think they're practicing today. Like I said, we got in really, really late last night. It was almost 4 o'clock in the morning, local time. You know, 5 o'clock in the morning, Nashville time. By the time we got here and got settled in the room, so I think today is a day of rest, regroup, and I think tomorrow morning they're really going to hit it hard, and go through some things, to try to get in the right mental frame of things. But I always like when there's some accountability. He said it. The best players have to be the best players. So I know a lot of people are saying, well, what about Cody Glass here? Or what about Ellie Tolvanen in there? Should they call up Phil Tomasino? All of that is part of the equation. But I think really the big thing is the best players have to be the best. UC Soros is a huge part of it. I was interested to hear what Roman said about UC Soros. They're going to do nothing but try to be supportive of him and put him in a position to be successful. But I think everybody knows that they haven't seen the best UC Soros yet. I mean, those are just not UC Soros numbers that you're seeing right now. And there are reasons why he's been put in a tough position, but he's got to be better, just like really everybody on the team.
Yeah. And look, tomorrow night, you know, the thing is, I feel like I keep saying this. We've seen, you know, those moments where, okay, this is going to kickstart them. This is going to light a fire. Calgary, you know, I mean, you pretty much dominate that game. It's the best game they've played all year. You think, okay, this is a good starting off point. Well, then they're down 3-0 to start Vancouver, but they battle back. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right, maybe that'll do something. Shows you that even though you played a bad period, you're not out of it. And then they turn around and they do it again. It's just, again, finding that consistency. When is one of these jumping off points actually going to be a jumping off point for them where they can get on a consistent run? I believe that this team is talented enough where that's going to happen, but the question is when.
Yeah, well, you hope it happens sooner than later.
No, you're right, Derek. You said it. Thanksgiving is a benchmark. You've got to look at where you are at Thanksgiving. If you're out of the playoffs, the odds are against you. And it doesn't mean that you can't come back. St. Louis right now has lost 8 in a row. But remember in 2019 when they won the cup, they were dead last, and way past Thanksgiving. I mean, they got it together. And I want to say it wasn't until around January that it started to come around, and then all of a sudden everything was clicking. So there will be streaky teams here and there, but you're starting to form, you know, the numbers, your statistical profile. You know, there's enough of a sample size by Thanksgiving that I think you kind of make an honest assessment. You know, what are you as a team? And right now, it's only been 13 games, but statistically, they deserve to be 5-7-1. I think they know that. And so they've got to get better. I think the ceiling is there for them to be way, way better up and down the lineup. Another thing that I wanted to ask Yost, and you heard me say it, you know, is there still confidence in the system? Because there's always people, and this is like the coaches have to take their share of the blame too, right? You can't put it all on the players. You can't just say it's all the players. The coaches have to do their part as well and ask themselves, why isn't our system clicking? Right? What can we do better? But I like what Roman said. At least I'm encouraged by what Roman said. They believe that the system will work if everybody's playing it correctly. Right? They worked hard to build this identity. Be hard to play against. Be physical. Tanner Janot was banging people all over the place last night. You know, they've got that part of it. They were smashing people against the boards, trying to get back in the game. Cole Smith is a part of that. Right? They've got that. But it's got to go with the other elements of their system. So when it comes together, it looks really good, like it did in Calgary. But it's just not happening enough right now. But I think there's a belief that the system will work if just everybody plays and does their role.
Yeah. I'm curious of something too, because mm-hmm. and we've talked about this. With this inconsistency, you know, everybody's hollering for John Hines. And you got that group that didn't like him to begin with, and so they're never going to change their mind. And then you got people that, you know, when they win, great. He's awesome. When they lose, fire him. It's just, you know, back and forth. Fans. Mm-hmm. Fans being fans. But I've sat here and thought, if Peter Laviolette was the coach right now, Would you be hearing that? Hmm. Or is it literally this group? You did towards the end, but I'm saying, you know, take that away and just say that, you know, they've had success the last few years, but they're in a rough spot right now. You know, basically you've had the last few years, what has happened, but he's still the coach. Are you hearing it? Or if Barry Trotz is in right now, are you hearing it as much, or is it simply that group that just they don't like this system for whatever reason?
Well, but what I would challenge a lot of those people that are saying the system or the coaching system, can they really define what the system is? You know, do they know enough about what a system is? I don't know. Like, it's, we talked about film study. You know, some people will, you know, they'll look at film, they'll do the hustle. They're doing, I love their enthusiasm and their passion to try to figure out what's going on. But the truth is, do they really understand the game well enough to know what the system is? I think any system would work. Peter Laviolette's system was very different than John Hines, very different than Barry Trotz, right? It's three different kind of systems. John Hines probably has some more similarities to Barry Trotz in how they play. But, you know, when it's not effective, everybody kind of says, well, what's going on with the system? I'll say this. Peter Laviolette, when they won the division in 2019, they were the Central Division champs. I thought he started to take a lot of heat at that point, right? Is that fair to say, Chase? Because remember, they kind of sagged down the stretch, and then they were able to jump up and win the division, but it didn't look like it was clicking. They had won the President's Trophy the year before. It looked like it was trending down, and then they lost to the Stars in the playoffs. I think there was a lot of heat on Peter Laviolette. So my point is, I think every coach, it's just part of the job. They know it's part of the job. You're going to get criticized when things don't look right.
Right.
You're never that far from turning it around. Like, things are never as good as they seem, and things aren't really as bad as they seem.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're never that far from just clicking it in. It's such a small margin for error in hockey. That's one observation I've had over the years.
So I have an interesting take on that, on something you just said, that I want to expound upon when we come back. I want to do that coming up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Play silly underdog picks. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week outright for a chance to win great prizes. Play now at thegamenashville.com or on the 102.5 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason in Nashville. Willie is in Denver. Ian Sfar here. Caroline Fenton going to be in for me the next couple days starting tomorrow, as I will be taking a little vacay. But something I wanted – this is what I wanted to bring up. And I've been trying to think about how I want to word this, because I mean this in a good way. I'm not trying to say this in a bad way. But and Willie's probably going to tell me if I'm crazy or not. So this, because he usually does that. He's, you know, Billy Joel. You may be right, I may be crazy. But, you know. I think that when you see, like you mentioned Peter Laviolette, everybody got soured on Peter Laviolette after Dallas. Well, what year was that for Peter Laviolette?
That was his, let's see.
Year five.
15, 16, 17, 18. Yep, year five.
Year five. What was always the story on Peter Laviolette?
That after about 4 or 5 years, the shelf life starts to take effect.
Right.
You know, that's, if you look at his cycles, it's great. He's one of the top 10 winningest coaches of all time. But that's usually the track record with him.
Right. So I say that because I think that the fan base, and a majority of the fan base, I would not consider to be diehard hockey fans. You agree with that? That the majority of the fan base is, they are Predators fans, and they have become hockey fans because of the Predators. But I put myself in that group. But they're not like these diehard hockey experts. There are some, but the majority I would not categorize as that. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. And especially in a city where you don't have a ton of people who grow up playing the game.
Right.
You know, that category. We all have our varying backgrounds, right, of playing something, participating, being a part of teams, things like that in sports. But very few of us, relatively speaking, grew up and played a lot of hockey in this market.
Yeah. And you've seen that change a lot over the last 25 years because of the job the Predators have done.
Yeah, no, there's a lot more than there used to be, for sure. But they're still relative to, you know, any Canadian market or something like that, where you just have a lot more people that have a little more firsthand experience growing up and understanding the game on a different level. That can be dangerous, too. It doesn't mean that they necessarily know exactly what's going on with the Maple Leafs or the Jets or whatever. They go just as crazy as the fans down here. But it's, you know, it's just interesting how the fan base is growing, and it's a passionate fan base.
Yeah. And so my point with that is I still think sometimes there's a preconceived notion for a player or a coach that is based solely on, you know, what Twitter says or a phrase like, hey, the shelf life is 4 or 5 seasons with Peter Laviolette. And, you know, even going back to Barry Trotz, that you had, because it was a defensive system and we didn't have the true goal scorer for the Predators, that it was like, this is boring. We, you know, his system won't work with a Forsberg or a player like that, and so you got to move on. John Hines, it's the same thing. John Hines' system is not flashy. Now, you had last year in that same system, you had two guys score 40 goals for the first time in franchise history. And, you know, to me, that's saying something. Now, it could have been a really, really good year, but I think Forsberg is capable of that, especially as years go on. But there was the general consensus of this system isn't all that fun, flashy, whatever, so therefore I don't like him and I don't want him. My point is, I think that as this fan base continues to grow, and like I said, I put myself in this category because I'm still, you know, I'm still learning things about the game. As it grows, I think you have to expand how you look at, you know, what is said about a coach, what is said about a player, and do more of a deeper dive into it and not just go on preconceived notions. Because I think some of the people, and look, I agree, things got to change. They got to play better. If the system is working and what Roman Josi said is true, that when everybody's doing it right, it works, then everybody needs to start freaking doing it right. Like, then play better. But yeah. I just think you have to look at this with a broader view. I mean, I'm trying to word this the best I can.
No, I think it's really good insight that you're sharing, Chase. I think one of the things I completely agree. Sometimes you get a label. You use
a label.
Trotz.
That is the best. That is the best word to use. A label.
What was the label on Barry Trotz when he was taking heat here?
Dump and chase. They always dump and chase.
Couldn't win a playoff series.
Couldn't win a playoff series.
And what was the other one? He doesn't know how to coach forwards. He doesn't know how to get scores. He doesn't know how to get the best out of scores. Well, what did he do? He went to Washington and he had Alex Ovechkin and they won a cup. So he definitely shook the label, but that was still the label for a long, long time. And I do think that because John Hines hasn't won playoff series, I, in fairness to him, I don't think he's ever really had the horses to be the favorite in any playoff series he's played. And that he's been a fairly sizable underdog every time his teams have made the playoffs. I think a lot of times he's penalized for that because his teams overachieved to get to the playoffs and then had to play really, really tough teams. So you're trying to build the team to the point where you're not that much of an underdog when you get to the playoffs. But I think the most fair criticism I think that's out there right now, and it's not directly at John Hines, but it's really at the way the team is played right now. The way the team is built is supposed to be you have a great goaltender and you're supposed to have a solid defense system in front of him. And they have not been that, right? Saros hasn't played well, and they have not played solid defense night in and night out in front of him. Now, last year, if your label is it's not an exciting system or whatever, they scored more goals than, all but 2 or 3 teams in the history of the franchise, right? They had one of their highest scoring seasons ever last year. So I think the idea is you'll have enough, you got enough scoring there, but the basis of your team is excellent goaltending and a solid defensive system with hard-hitting, edgy forwards that are going to physically intimidate you some and be tough to play against. That's what they're shooting for, but the foundation this year just hasn't been there, not yet. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's
totally
fair. You
think that's the most fair criticism? Some of the other wild stuff that they should be playing this guy or that guy on the fourth line, I don't really buy a lot of that stuff, but I think it's a fair criticism to say, you know, why haven't they been what their identity is supposed to be, right? And even going back to the end of last year, it wasn't quite there, right? The defense, especially when UC Soros hasn't been at his best, they've been exposed a little bit at not being able to be a higher level defensive team. I think that's what they've got to start with. And tomorrow will be a great test. When you go to Denver, if you don't have your act together, you know, you're going to see a 5, 6, 7 on the scoreboard more nights than not.
Right. And I think that's all well said. I mean, this is where a lot of the, even though we joke about it, a lot of the Willie, what's the plan? You know, because there are times when you know what the identity is supposed to be, but you don't actually see it. And I think that people, that's when people get caught up in the, well, it's Hines. You blame Hines. He's the guy that's supposed to be creating this identity, and we don't see
it.
It's all about execution, too.
You start at the top. Mm-hmm. David Poyle's got to take some heat. John Hines has got to take some heat. You heard Roman Josi put it on himself. I've got to play better, right? It's a collective everything. I don't think it's time to panic and start saying you got to change this or change that. You got to let it work itself out here and then see where you're at Thanksgiving. And then, you know, when you start getting closer to the trade deadline, you know, where are you? And you hopefully over the course of the marathon, your true identity comes forward and you're successful. This is a team that, you know, has, what are they, 8 straight years making the postseason. They've been consistent at that, right? But that's, then you've got the next level is, okay, are you progressing, and are you at a point now where you can go beat somebody in the playoffs? That's what everybody wants to see at the end of the rainbow here.
And we will see if that can indeed happen at some point in time. This Sunday following the Titans game, tune in for NFL postgame with Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow live from the Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway. Postgame is presented by Renter's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford. Custom order your new Ford from Two Rivers Ford and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. We will, coming up next, get in on Ryan Tannehill, a little update from him today, and practice what we expect before we turn things over to Stillman Company here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, Willie Donick here with you. As Willie is in Denver.
You sure he's in Denver?
Yeah. butt dialing me from Denver at 4 in the morning.
Yep, that's documented. It's on the phone.
Ian missed this story earlier. So I start the show because when I, you know, being the suit now, I mean, I keep my phone right by my head because I know I'm probably – there are going to be times I get a phone call in the middle of the night for something. It better not happen over the next 4 days, but, you know, we'll see. But, you know, that so when I wake up in the morning, I always check my phone to make sure, like, I haven't missed something. You know, and there have been times where – you know, Michelle will send a text, say, hey, this happened, or she'll call and I'll answer and what have you. So I wake up and I was out last night because pregame ended late. I was really tired. And so it was one of those that I wake up and I think I'm like in another world and I'm like, oh, I better check the phone, make sure I didn't miss anything. And sure enough, there are 2 missed calls from Willie. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, crap, what has happened? What is going on? Why is Willie calling me? Why is Willie calling me at 4 in the morning? This is bad. Like, I don't – what did they get stuck in Seattle? Like, what's going on? So then I see I have a voicemail from Willie. And I'm like, oh, no. Okay, what is this?
Let's see what he's saying.
So I play it, and then I realize the voicemail is 3 minutes long. And I go, okay, Willie – My mother would leave me a 3-minute long voicemail. Willie would not. Love you, Mom.
I'm in some alley. Too much to drink.
Chase!
What's going on?
Hal left
hey,
me.
I love you, brother. I love you, Chase. I love you, man.
It turns out.
I say I love you, man.
It turns out that it was just a butt dial. Twice. A butt dial.
Twice.
And as we've gone along in the show today, I've thought about this further. Willie, we have the iPhone now. Okay, like there are, like, the thing locks. Like, I don't know how we have butt dials happen.
I didn't hit the button. You know, I got the button that locks it. I don't know what, for whatever reason, this particular phone, if I leave the front open and I don't lock it, it's something's going up. It's
but there are ways
something.
To prevent
yes.
that. You just said it.
I know.
Mine is set. It locks after a minute.
After a couple of seconds.
Because
one,
I don't want people looking through my phone.
Gosh,
see my business.
Willie.
Right.
You know,
there are protocols
Taylor
so you
Swift
don't
and
butt.
I are
butt exactly. There are protocols so you don't butt dial, Willie.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel
you
like you
just,
could prevent.
I know what you're saying. You know what you guys are saying. You guys are saying, Willie, be better.
Yeah.
Just be better.
And Willie, you have no excuse because you got teenagers, man. You got younger kids, man.
Know,
and they
I
should
know.
Be able to tell you.
Well,
hell,
I mean,
Aaron can tell you.
Aaron can figure this out. Look, it's not that we should be surprised. The man doesn't even have a Fire Stick. He's
exactly.
hooking his
yes.
computer up with HDMI cord to watch the.
He's running an HDMI cord from his house. He goes over to his neighbor's house. He takes the HDMI cord with him over to his neighbor's house. So it stretches from his house to the neighbor's house.
He probably still has a splitter, like a cable splitter, running off the cable box, running into every TV where they all see get the same channel at the same time.
That's Willie. Yeah, that's pretty much Willie.
So it's not like I'm that surprised of this,
man.
But I just, you know, it caused me a little panic this morning.
You had
because,
to be.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm the boss. Like, I, you know, I've got to make sure that my guy's okay. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, it's just a butt dial.
I'm waiting for my daughter to give me the same thing because I did the same thing with her right around the same time.
Wait. You haven't heard from her yet?
Not yet, but I'm waiting. She's going to hammer me.
So me, as your co-host, you know, I've already, like, I mean, I guess you haven't heard from me. I brought it up on the show, but. You know, I kind of figured Evie at this point would have at least sent a text like, hey, is everything good?
No, she probably just looked at her phone and shook her head.
She
like,
probably knew.
Dad, done it again.
I feel like you've done this before.
Exactly.
He did it again.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nate on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How often does Billy butt dial during Preds game games, get excited, slaps his leg, and calls someone? Shane
it's
says,
a fair question. It's a fair question.
Shane says, hey, what's wrong with cable splitters? Shane of the Borough, old school.
Well, nothing if you live by yourself.
No, that's true. I mean, you're the only one watching
exactly.
the TV.
Exactly, you're
the
only person watching the television.
So it doesn't matter, for sure. Ryan Tannehill spoke today. Basically, he's saying it's a high ankle sprain without saying it's a high ankle sprain. I think we all know it's a high ankle sprain. At this point, kind of indicated that even though we went on the trip, didn't feel like he was going to play. Mm-hmm. And the indication to me is he's probably not going to play this weekend and probably not going to play a week from tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be – I would be surprised if he does play this weekend and then on Thursday. Because to me, I think the Green Bay game, because of the way their defense is playing, because of the way they can run in football, I think they have a really, really good shot at winning that game. I think they have a good shot at winning the Denver game, too. It just, and you know, knowing that Jeffrey Simmons is in a boot, well, hopefully that's just precautionary. It's only Wednesday. Maybe he sits out today and give it a go Thursday and Friday. And if he can do that, then he's playing. I'm sure he's playing regardless, unless it's just to a point where he can't, you know, put any weight on it at all. And that's a lot of weight to be putting on an ankle for Big Jeff. But I still believe they have a great shot at winning both of these games. So to keep him out another two games, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, because even if they split it, they still in the perfect position to win this division and to get a three seed moving forward. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if he's – what do they consider limited? Because before limited was he only did the stuff the camera saw and nothing right. more. But if limited moving forward means he is actually participating in some of the practice that we don't see, that's a good sign. But if he's still not participating in that, then he may be a couple weeks off.
I got to believe that's going to be very, very strict. You can put whatever you want on there. You can put limited or did not practice, mm-hmm. but he will be limited. Mm-hmm. And I think the focus today would probably be really work hard with Malik Willis to try to get him one little step forward. You know, what does everybody always say? If you can get 1% better each day, right? That would be my focus. Right, Ryan Tannehill's just got to get well, and you know that if he's able to play physically, then that's fine, that's great. But in the meantime, let's try the best we can to get Malik Willis 1% better and the offense 1% better, because it's going to take a lot to put together a good offensive game plan against the Broncos. It's going to be a slugfest on Sunday, based on what we've seen from both defenses and the profiles of both teams. Expect a really close game. Titans are pretty good at winning those close games. That's the formula they got to hope for.
Yep. So we will see. I'd be curious too if he doesn't play. Let's say he doesn't play this week and next Thursday. If somebody asks if the Thursday game had actually been Sunday, would you have been ready for that? Just to gauge how close he is. But we'll continue to monitor that, or you guys will. I'm out the next couple days, so I will be back on Monday. Stick around. Stillman and Company coming up next on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
We out.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.